Zenith Productions presents The Life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Medina Period, Volume 2, by Imam Anwar al-Awlaki.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was in Yemen, there were some rumors surrounding his authority as an emir over there. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu had some camels of sadaqah with him, and the members of his army, they wanted to use these camels for transport. Ali ibn Abi Talib refused, and he had some work to do, so he left a deputy to take care of affairs in his absence. And when he came back, he found out that the camels were used for transport, because he saw the marks of the saddles on them. And he also saw that the people were wearing some of the garments that were also given as part of sadaqah. So Ali ibn Abi Talib became very angry, and he ordered that they take off those garments and they give them back. And that caused some rumors. And someone went back to Rasulullah ﷺ to report what happened. And there was one of the sahaba that was there, and when this man was reporting these things against Ali ibn Abi Talib, the other Sahabi was saying, yes, that's right, yes, that's right. And this Sahabi used to say that I used to dislike Ali ibn Abi Talib. I used to hate him. And Rasulullah ﷺ, when he saw him saying, yes, that's right, approving the complaints that were against Ali ibn Abi Talib, Rasulullah ﷺ put his hand on the knee of this Sahabi and he told him, do you dislike Ali? He said, yes. Rasulullah ﷺ told him, you should love him. So this Sahabi said, after that, Ali ibn Abi Talib was among the most beloved to me. So this was the situation. So when Rasulullah ﷺ was returning from Hajjat al-Wada', and he arrived in a place called Ghadir Khum, Rasulullah ﷺ gathered the people and delivered to them the famous statement, مَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَعَلِيُّ مَوْلَاهُ. If I am the friend of someone, then Ali is also his friend. Mawla is friend, protector, close associate. So all of these statements do apply to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now the Shia, they carried this too far and they took it out of the context. The context of what happened is that there were rumors, false rumors going against Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to defend the reputation of Ali ibn Abi Talib in front of everyone, and to let everyone know the status of Ali ibn Abi Talib, being the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the husband of his daughter, and the father of the only lineage remaining from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because no lineage remained from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except through Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling the people that if I am your mawla, then Ali ibn Abi Talib is also your mawla. If you love me, then you need to love Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah ﷺ returned to Medina, and now we're entering into the 11th year of Hijrah. He spent there the month of Muharram, and in Safar, Rasulullah ﷺ appointed Usama bin Zayd to lead an army that is to be sent to the land of Balqa in Asham. And the instructions were for Osama bin Zayd to step with his horses on the land where his father was killed. So you can see now that the focus of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the boundaries with the Roman Empire. You have Mu'ta first, and then you have Tabuk, and now you have this army of Osama bin Zayd, in addition to the Saraya that were also sent into that area. So this happened in Safar. Now, Osama bin Zayd at that time, how old was he? He was between 18 to 20 years old, very young. And you have senior Sahaba from Al-Muhajirin and Al-Ansar, older men with much experience in warfare and in leadership and managing the affairs of armies. And Rasulullah ﷺ appoints a very young man to lead an army that included Abu Bakr and Umar. So there was some talk going on, and now see the community is large, so there's more room for idle talk to go on, because you still had a strong presence of nifaq and large number of Muslims. So there was talk going around, why is Osama bin Zayd appointed? For two reasons. The objections were two reasons. Number one, his age. And number two, that he belongs to the slave caste. I mean, his father was a former slave and his mother is the same thing, Umm Ayman. Therefore, how could he lead over the free men? And these concerns reached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is in Bukhari, إِن تَطْعَنُوا فِي إِمَارَتِهِ فَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَطْعَنُونَ فِي إِمَارَةِ أَبِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. If you are disputing his appointment, then you have disputed the appointment of his father before. وَأَيْمُ اللَّهِ إِنْ كَانَ لَخَلِيقًا لِلْإِمَارَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ لَمَنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ وَإِنَّ هَذَا لَمَنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ بَعْدَ. And in the name of Allah, and now he's talking about his father, Zayd bin Haritha, he was suitable person for appointing as a leader, and he was one of the most beloved people to me, and this man is one of the most beloved people to me after him. So Osama, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that he took the position of his father after his father passed away. In the month of Safar, the beginning of the end was starting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has received many ayat and indications that he would die just like every other human being. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed ayat that warn of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this was revealed in Mecca,
وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى.
And the hereafter is better for you than the first life, and your Lord is going to give you, and you will be satisfied. And therefore, when Rasulullah ﷺ was given the choice of living in dunya or dying, we will see what his choice was. Because he had a promise from very early on in Mecca that the afterlife is better for you and Allah will give you until you're satisfied. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ.
Az-Zumar 30:31. Indeed you are to die, and indeed they are to die. Then indeed you, on the day of resurrection, before your Lord, will dispute. When Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Anbiya,
وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدَ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ.
And we did not grant any man before you eternity. So if you die, would they be eternal? Every soul will taste death. And we test you with evil and with good as trial, and to us you will be returned. So the whole life is just a trial of good and bad, and everyone will die. And Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Hajj of Wada',
الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا.
This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have approved for you Islam as religion. Now there's nothing directly here that indicates the death of Rasulullah ﷺ, but there's an indication of the fulfillment of the mission. And Allah Azza wa Jal says,
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَنْ تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَسَنَجْزِي الشَّاكِرِينَ.
Muhammad is not but a messenger.
other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief? And he who turns back on his heels will never harm Allah at all, but Allah will reward the grateful. And it is not possible for one to die except by permission of Allah at a decree determined. And whoever desires the reward of this world, we will give him thereof. And whoever desires the reward of the hereafter, we will give him thereof. And we will reward the grateful. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا.
When the victory of Allah has come and the conquest, and you see the people entering into the religion of Allah in multitudes, then exalt Him with praise of your Lord, and ask forgiveness of him. Indeed, he is ever accepting of repentance. Again, in these ayat, there is no direct indication of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas used to sit with the senior muhajirin and ansar in the court of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So some of the muhajirin and ansar said, why is this young man sitting here when we have sons in his age and they're not invited? So Umar ibn Khattab wanted to point out to them the reason. So he asked them, what do you understand from this surah? Everyone gave an answer. Umar ibn Khattab asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what do you understand from it? He said, I understand from it the death of Rasulullah. Umar ibn Khattab said, and that is what I understand from it. And he made a point to the Sahaba who were there that Ibn Abbas is sitting with us now because of his knowledge, because of his understanding, because of the fiqh and the deep understanding that he has of Islam. Because this surah says, when the victory of Allah has come and the conquest. And the victory of Allah is the end result of da'wah. So it's towards the end. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The end result belongs to the believers. And you see the people entering into the religion of Allah in multitudes. And that was what is happening. After Fatah Makkah, people were entering in multitudes. Then exalt him with praise of your Lord and ask forgiveness of him. We usually ask Allah for forgiveness when? After we do the deed, then we ask Allah to forgive us. So after Salah, what do you say? Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. After Hajj, same thing, Astaghfirullah. So Istighfar is something that comes towards the end. And this is an indication that the end of the life of the Rasulullah ﷺ is near. And Tawbah also comes towards the end. There are also some ahadith. We talked about the hadith where when Rasulullah ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen and told him, you might not meet me anymore, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal cried. There's also the hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ said in Hajj, لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَلَعَلِّي لَا أَحُجُّ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. Take from me your rituals. Learn from me your rituals, because I may never make Hajj again after this time. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ كَانَ يُعَارِضْنِي بِالْقُرْآنِ فِي كُلِّ سَنَةٍ مَرَّةً وَإِنَّهُ عَارَضَنِي بِهِ الْعَامَ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَمَا أَرَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِاقْتِرَابِ أَجَلِي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Jibreel used to recite Quran with me every year once. They would go through the whole Quran. And this year he did it twice. And I see that as an indication of the end of my life. So in the month of Safar, of the year 11 of Al-Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to Abu Muwayhibah, a servant of Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And this was late at night. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, he woke up Abu Muwayhibah and called him and told him, Ya Abu Muwayhibah, inni qad umirtu an astaghfira li ahli hadha al-baqi' fantaliq ma'i. O Abu Muwayhibah, I have been commanded to ask Allah to forgive the people of Al-Baqi', so come with me. Al-Baqi' is the cemetery of Medina, the blessed cemetery where the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who struggled with him, fought with him, supported him, were buried. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered by Allah to go to the cemetery and ask Allah to forgive them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Muwayhibah to go with him. So they went together. At night, to Al-Baqi' and when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived there, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going in the middle of the night to the cemetery to give his sahaba radiallahu anhum company. He told them, "Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-maqabir. Peace be upon you, O people of the graves." And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, and look at these uplifting words for them, "لِيَهْنَأَ لَكُمْ مَا أَصْبَحْتُمْ فِيهِ مِمَّا أَصْبَحَ النَّاسُ فِيهِ." Congratulations. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is congratulating the people of the cemetery, the people who are dead. Congratulations that you do not experience what people here are experiencing. Congratulations that you passed away in the early days of da'wah, when the hearts were pure and the people were together and they were unified. Congratulations that you died in the difficult days when the rewards were great. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them that you are in a better position than who's left behind. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "أقبلت الفتن كقطع الليل المظلم يتبع آخرها أولها الآخرة شر من الأولى." Trials and tribulations come like dark portions of the night, following each other in succession, the last being worse than the first. Trials and tribulations are on their way, and we are living in that time, dear brothers and sisters. We are living in the times of trials and tribulations. We're living in a time of fitna. Fitna in dunya and fitna in deen. So Rasulullah ﷺ was congratulating these sahaba who died early and telling them, "Congratulations that you died early, because now the fitan are coming like dark pieces of the night, one after the other." And then Rasulullah ﷺ looked at Abu Muwayhiba and said, "Inni qad utitu mafatiha khazain al-dunya wal khulda fiha thumma al-jannah fakhayyirtu bayna dhalika wa bayna liqa'i rabbi wal jannah." Rasulullah ﷺ told Abu Muwayhiba, "I was given the choice of the keys of the treasures of dunya, and living in dunya as long as it exists, and then paradise, or وَبَيْنَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّي وَالْجَنَّةِ, meeting my Lord or paradise." So the choice is, you can live in dunya as long as this world would survive, and you will be given the keys to the treasures of this world, and then when you pass away, you will be in paradise. That's choice number one. And the second choice is to meet Allah now and Jannah. Abu Muwayhiba said, "Choose us," in one narration. And in this narration he says, "Choose the keys of the treasures and living in dunya as long as it is living, then Jannah." Rasulullah ﷺ said, "No, I have chosen to meet Allah and paradise." And then Rasulullah ﷺ sought forgiveness for the people of Al-Baqiyah, and then he left. And when he arrived home, the illness of his death began. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not attached to dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his concern in dunya was his ummah. His concern was not building, it was not wealth. He didn't have attachment to ad-dunya. And therefore Ibn Kathir radiallahu anhu, he says, "فَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِرِهَا كَانَتْ أَحْقَرَ عِنْدَهُ كَمَا هِيَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ من أن يسعى لها أو يتركها بعده ميراثا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه." He said the dunya was so small in the eyes of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it is also small in the eyes of Allah, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم left it without leaving behind anything. عائشة رضي الله عنها was saying, "ورأسه ورأسه, my head hurts, my head hurts." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "بَلْ أَنَا وَرَأْسَهُ." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, it is me who should say, my head hurts." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was having a severe headache, and he was also having a severe fever. And the fever was so severe on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one of the companions put his hand on Rasulullah, he said, "I cannot leave my hand on you because of the heat." I mean, it was very uncomfortable to touch the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his fever. And the companion told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "إنك لتوعك وعكا شديدا." You are going through very severe illness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, that is because we, the prophets, suffer double the suffering of everyone else." Because Allah azza wa jal loves them, Allah azza wa jal puts them through tougher tests. because they are stronger and greater and better, Allah Azza wa Jal puts them through tougher tests. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day wanted to go to the masjid. لَعَلِّي أَحَدُ إِلَى النَّاسِ He wanted to give a covenant to the people. So he said, gather for me 7 buckets of water from 7 different wells and pour them on me so that I can go out to the people. So they brought him this water and they were pouring this cold water on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to cool it down because of the temperature and to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ability to go out to the masjid. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was carried to the masjid and his head was wrapped because of his headache. And he had to lean, he couldn't walk, so he had to lean on one of the sons of Al-Abbas and Ali ibn Abi Talib to take him to the masjid. And his feet were dragging on the ground because he couldn't lift them up. And he went to the masjid and he gave a nasiha. After praising Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the shuhada of Uhud and asked Allah to forgive them. Notice here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Al-Baqi' to ask Allah to forgive the Muslims who died in Al-Baqi' and now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking forgiveness to the Shuhada of Uhud. This shows us the loyalty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to his companions, the love that he had for them and the remembrance that he had for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about his ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for us. He lived for me and you. He gave his life for me and you. He struggled, he went through difficulties, he suffered poverty, he suffered pain, he had to fight, he had to go through trials and tribulations for the religion to reach me and you. We owe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning the people of Uhud, then he was giving a nasiha to the muhajireen. He told him, Ya ma'ashara al-muhajireen, innakum qad asbahtum tazidun, والأنصار على هيئتها لا تزيد. Oh, people of Muhajirun. The Muhajirun are the ones who made Hijrah. You are increasing in numbers while the Ansar are not increasing in numbers. That is because the population of Ansar was the same while the Muhajirin are increasing because the Hijrah was not only from Quraysh but it was now from all over Arabia. So the Muhajirin are now the majority of the population of Medina. When in the beginning, the Muhajirin were very few in number and the majority of the people in Medina were the locals, the people of Ansar. So Rasulullah is telling the Muhajirin that your numbers are adding up while the Ansar are not increasing. And then he said, وَإِنَّهُمْ عَيْبَةِ الَّتِي آوَيْتُ إِلَيْهَا فَأَكْرِمُوا كَرِيمَهُمْ وَتَجَاوزُ عَمْ مُسِئِهِمْ They are the ones who supported me in the beginning. So honor the honorable among them and forgive the ones among them who make mistakes. Rasulullah does not want to die and have the Ansar suffer because now they are a minority in Medina. And Rasulullah is reminding the Muhajirin to take care of them. The good among them, treat them very well. And the ones among them who make mistakes, forgive them. And then Rasulullah said, أيها الناس, إن عبدا من عباد الله قد خيره الله بين الدنيا وبين ما عند الله. There is a servant, O people, from among the servants of Allah, and Allah has given him the option of this world or what is in the hands of Allah. That's all what Rasulullah ﷺ said. He didn't indicate who this slave of Allah is. But Abu Bakr understood the meaning and he started to cry. He understood that Rasulullah ﷺ was talking about himself. Because the Anbiya of Allah are given the choice before they die. Not like everybody else. The angel of death just comes to you unannounced. The angel of death comes to the Anbiya and seeks their permission to take their souls. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that there's a slave of Allah who was given the choice of dunya or akhirah. So Abu Bakr cried and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Bal nahnu nafdika bi anfusina wa abna'ina." We will sacrifice ourselves and our children for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Ala rislik." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped Abu Bakr and then told him. He told everyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person most faithful to myself in his friendship and his wealth is Abu Bakr." Rasulullah ﷺ now towards the end of his life is recognizing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in front of everyone and letting the people know the status of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The person most faithful to myself in his friendship and his wealth is Abu Bakr. If I were to take any other than Allah as a beloved one, as a Khalil, I would so take Abu Bakr. However, what I do have with him is the companionship of Islam and his love. Every door in the mosque should be shut except that of Abu Bakr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, Khalil. Khalil is a higher level than friend. It is something that fills your heart with love. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I'm going to choose out of this world a Khalil, it would be Abu Bakr. But I am the Khalil of Allah. And Abu Bakr is my brother and friend. Abu Bakr is the one whom I share with him love. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave some final advice to the ummah. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La'ana Allahu al-Yahuda wan-Nasara takhadhu qubura anbiya'ahum masajid." May Allah curse the Jews and Christians for building mosques over the graves of their prophets. They turned the graves of their prophets into masajid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yabqa fi jaziratil arabi dinan." No two religions should coexist in the Arabian Peninsula. This is a kufr-free zone. The Arabian Peninsula should be purely Islamic. No other religion should coexist with Islam in the Arabian Peninsula. And this is one of the final words of advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Usikum bis-salah." Rasulullah is giving them the advice of salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave us advice to take care of the slaves. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this advice, to take care of the slaves, to take care of the slaves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Ittaqullah fi an-nisa," fear Allah in the women. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving the advice to the ummah to not take advantage of the weak among the ummah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma taraka qawmun al-jihad illa dhallu." Whenever people leave jihad, they will be humiliated. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also ordered that the army of Usama should be sent out. Because now the army of Usama was camping outside of Medina until all of the fighters get ready, and then they would set out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, "Anfidhu ba'tha Usama," send out the army of Usama. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still going around to the houses of his wives, but then eventually it was becoming difficult for him, so he was carried in to the house of Aisha. And he gathered all of his wives and he sought their permission to allow him to stay in the house of Aisha while he is ill. And they agreed. So Aisha had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her house and she was the one tending to him. And she said, "This is the first time I tended to an ill person." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the rest of his life in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, or the end of his life was in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha, she said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would become ill, he would recite the mu'awwadhat in his hands and then he would blow in them and then he would wipe his body. But when he became ill, he could not do that for himself, so Aisha would recite the suwar in the hands of Rasulullah and then she would use his hands to wipe his body for him. She would not do it in her own hands because the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are more blessed. So even though she would do the recitation, but she would not do it in her hands, but in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day her brother Abdurrahman came in and he had a miswak. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was staring at the miswak. So Aisha understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants it. So she told him, "Do you want it?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a gesture that yes. So she took it from Abdurrahman and then she softened the other end and she gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he used the miswak, she said, as if he was healthy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was in the end of his life, but he was not leaving the sunnah of miswak. Usama bin Zayd and the Muslims who were camping out of Medina, they heard the news of the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they came back. And Usama came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah was ill to the extent that he could not speak. And then Usama said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands up, and then he would point to me. He would raise his hands up and then point to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua for Usama. Usama said, "Rasulullah, I understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua for me." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in those difficult moments, the agony and pain of illness. Nevertheless, he was making dua for Usama bin Zayd, and this shows us how much Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not go out and lead the salah anymore, so he ordered that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu should lead the salah. مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. Order Abu Bakr to lead the people in salah. Aisha did not want her father to lead salah, so she said, "Oh Rasulullah, Abu Bakr is a very soft-hearted man, and I'm afraid that if he stands in your position, he would not be able to handle it, and he would not be able to complete the salah." Meaning that if he's in that position, he might become too emotional to continue the salah. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin-nas." The objection of Aisha was repeated again. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Muru Abu Bakr falyusalli bin-nas. Inna kunna sawihbat Yusuf." You women are the companions of Yusuf. And what Rasulullah ﷺ meant by that, the women of Yusuf showed something, but they were hiding something else. When the wife of Al-Aziz invited all of those women to come, she invited them, apparently, it is just a gathering. But in reality, she wanted them there to see Yusuf. And Aisha radiallahu anha, her public statement was that my father is a soft-hearted man, so he won't be able to pray. But in reality, the reason why she didn't want her father to pray, and she actually mentions that, she said, "The reason I didn't want my father to pray is because people will dislike him for standing in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." I mean, people were used to having Rasulullah lead them in salah, and now they're having somebody else that might make them dislike the fact that Abu Bakr is in that place. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another narration, because it says that Umar radiallahu anhu led the salah, "Ya'ba Allahu dhalika wa rasuluhu al-mu'minin." Allah does not want that, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not want that, and the believers do not want that. It is Abu Bakr who must lead the Muslims in salah. And this is also an indication that the imam after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in the issues of religion and in the issues of dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was now extremely tired because of his illness, and he was not going out to the salah. But on Monday, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were in salah and they were being led by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uncovered the curtain that is between him and the masjid. Anas ibn Malik narrates, he says, and this is in Bukhari, حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَهُمْ صُفُوفٌ فِي الصَّلَةِ. When it was Monday and they were lined up in salah, فَكَشَفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ سِتْرَ الْحُجْرَةِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم uncovered the curtain. يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْنَا وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ كَأَنَّ وَجْهَهُ وَرَقَةُ مُصْحَفٍ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم took a look at us and he was standing up, and Anas ibn Malik says, as if his face was a page out of a book, meaning clear and clean and beautiful. Another narration, كَأَنَّ وَجْهَهُ فَلْقَةُ قَمَرٍ, as if his face was part of the moon. And then Anas ibn Malik said, ثُمَّ تَبَسَّمَ يَضْحَكُ. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled laughing. فَهَمَمْنَا أَن نَفْتَتِنَا مِنَ الْفَرَحِ بِرُؤْيَةِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was almost going to be a fitna for us because of our happiness by seeing Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. What he meant by fitna is that we were going to walk out of salah, because we were in salah and we saw that, and it was so beautiful and so much joy for us, we were almost going to lose our salah. And Abu Bakr was coming back so that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would lead the salah, but Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had Abu Bakr pray in his place. However, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did come out at a certain time, and he would sit down, but Abu Bakr would be standing up. And some narrations say that it was actually Abu Bakr leading the salah, but others say that it was Rasulullah leading Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr was standing and leading the rest. Back to this narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said that the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw them, he was smiling with joy. Why? And by the way, this is the last scene that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees from his ummah. The last thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw from his ummah was them in salah, in salat al-jama'ah. Brothers and sisters, when you are praying to Allah Azza wa Jal, and for the brothers whom salat al-jama'ah is wajib on them, when you are in salat al-jama'ah, this is a sight that pleases Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uncovered that curtain, he saw the result, he saw the fruit of his effort and his da'wah. The Muslims are lining up in salah, the most important deed in Islam, after Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled with happiness. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now seen standing up, they assumed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become better. So Abu Bakr sought permission to go to As-Sunh, where his other wife was, which was a little bit outside of Medina, because he was tied up in Medina due to the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now he thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better, so he left. And Al-Abbas, he met Ali ibn Abi Talib after he came out from the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is in Bukhari. He met with Ali ibn Abi Talib and he told him, Ya Abul Hasan, kayfa asbah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing this morning? So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, Asbaha bihamdillahi baran. He looks with the praise of Allah much better. Al-Abbas grabbed the hand of Ali ibn Abi Talib and told him, Anta wallahi ba'da thalath abdul asa. After 3 days from now, you would be a slave ruled by a stick. What does Al-Abbas mean by this? You would be a slave ruled by a stick. Meaning that you would be a person without any authority. You would be a follower without any authority. And this is farasa of Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. Farasa is intuition. Al-Abbas said, Inni wallahi la'arifu al-maut fi wujuh bani Abdul Muttalib. Al-Abbas said, I can read death in the faces of the sons of Abdul Muttalib, and I can see death in the face of Rasulullah. Everybody was thinking that Rasulullah was better. Al-Abbas said, no, I recognize death in my family. I can see it in their faces. And I can actually see it now in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I think that Rasulullah would die pretty soon. Al-Abbas doesn't know the unseen. Death is something that only Allah knows. But Al-Abbas has this intuition where he could recognize when the sons of Abdul Muttalib are approaching their death. So he told Ali ibn Abi Talib, go and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we are going to be in authority of the ummah after him. Ali ibn Abi Talib refused and he said, I will not ask him that, because if he rejects that, then the ummah will not give it to us to the end of time. And Ali ibn Abi Talib refused to go and talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. Anyway, there was a very steep deterioration in the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And within that day, that same day, which is Monday now, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been ill now for about 13 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started going through sakarat al-maut. Sakarat al-maut are the final moments, the agony of death, when the soul is coming out. So Aisha brought some water for Rasulullah, and he would soak a piece of cloth in that water, and then he would wipe his face with it and say, Inna lil mawti lasakarat. There's agony in death. There's agony in death. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, the best of the creation, had to go through this. And he was in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Aisha said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked up towards the roof with his eyes, and I heard him say, Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la, Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la, Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la. No, the highest companion. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being asked by the angel of death whether he wants to stay with us or to leave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, I want to be with the highest companion, and that is Allah azza wa jal. And then Aisha says, the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards me. And she screamed. In the narration of Ibn Hisham, فَمِنْ حُمْقِي وَقِلَّةْ عَقْلِي, because of my foolishness, I screamed and I yelled. And now the news was spreading around Medina like fire. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and Al-Mughira rushed in to the room. And Umar bin Khattab said, مَا أَشَدْ مَا غَشِيَ عَلَيْهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unconscious, and this is severe unconsciousness. And when they were walking out, Al-Mughira told Umar bin Khattab, لَقَدْ تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. This is not unconsciousness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot imagine how this news was on the Sahaba, because we don't have that same love. We did not live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for them was everything. He was their leader. He was like a father to them. He was an advisor to them. He was their teacher. He was everything. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he heard al-Mughira say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "Innaka rajulun tahusuka fitna." You are a man of fitna. You are a man who wants to bring dissension among the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die because he will not die until he exterminates the munafiqeen. Umar ibn al-Khattab understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not die until all of the munafiqeen are killed. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab rushed out to the masjid. And the people were starting to come in crowds in the masjid, and there was weeping everywhere. Everyone was crying. And Umar ibn al-Khattab drew out his sword and said, "There are some munafiqeen who are claiming that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unconscious like Musa became unconscious. And he will come back. And he will kill all of the munafiqeen. And whoever says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead, I'm going to cut off his head with this sword of mine." The news reached Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he came back from as-Sanh on his horse. And he did not speak to anyone. And he came into the room of Aisha with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered with cloth. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu uncovered the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he saw him, he cried. And then he kissed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "You are pure when alive, and you are pure when dead. In the name of Allah, Allah will not make you die twice. And the death that was prescribed on you, the death that is ordained on you and everybody else, you have went through it. So now that's it. You have went through the death that is prescribed on you." And then Abu Bakr came out of the room of Aisha and went to the masjid. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was screaming and yelling and threatening. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq told Umar, "Ijlis ya Umar, sit down Umar." Umar ignored Abu Bakr. He told him, "Sit down Umar," second time. And Umar is carrying on. So Abu Bakr then started speaking, and people just left Umar ibn al-Khattab and came to listen to what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu had to say. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت." Whoever used to worship Muhammad, then know that Muhammad is dead. And whoever used to worship Allah, then know that Allah is alive and would never die. And then he recited the ayah,
وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتلا انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين.
Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief? And he who turns back on his heels will never harm Allah at all, but Allah will reward the grateful. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "Is this ayah in the book of Allah?" Umar ibn al-Khattab already knows the ayah, but subhanAllah, it is as if he heard it for the first time. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "I realized that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dead, فَعَقَرْتْ فَمَا تَقِلَّنِي رَجِلَيْ." Umar ibn al-Khattab collapsed and said, "My feet cannot carry me anymore." Umar ibn al-Khattab, the strong, powerful man, could not handle the news. It was like an arrow that struck his heart, and he fell down because his knees could not carry him anymore. And the narrator says, فَمَا سُمِعَ بَشَرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا يَتْلُوهَا. Everyone was reciting this ayah as if they heard it for the first time. We will skip the event of the bay'ah to Abu Bakr because I already talked about it in the beginning of the lectures on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. We'll move on to the washing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how his burial. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the ones who took care of the washing of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those were Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, and Ali bin Abi Talib, Al-Fadl bin Abbas, Qism bin Abbas, and Usama bin Zayd, and Salih, the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Aws bin Khawli, one of the Ansar, he knocked on the door and told Ali bin Abi Talib, "I ask you in the name of Allah to allow me in." So he was allowed in, but he did not participate in the actual washing. Ali had the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his chest, and it is said in a narration that they were debating whether to wash Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his clothes or without his clothes, because the sunnah is to wash without the clothes. But then they heard the sound tell them to wash Rasulullah with his clothes, so the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not uncovered during his washing. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "We washed him from over his garments." And Al-Abbas and Fadl and Qasim used to turn the body around for with Ali, and Usama bin Zayd and Saleh, the servant of Rasulullah, were the ones pouring the water. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was the one who would rub the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they put him in three pieces of cloth, which were the shroud. That was the shroud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Salah of Janazah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't one congregation, but people would come in and pray, and then they would come out, and this carried on. Men would come in and out as much as the room would fit, making Salah and Janazah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Umm Salama says, "We were all together, the woman of Rasulullah, crying. And we had a little comfort in seeing at least the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if Rasulullah was not alive, we had the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to look at with us in the room. And we are crying, continuously crying." And then subhanAllah, she said, and this is Wednesday night, late at night, she said, "We heard the pickaxes. We heard the digging of the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we all broke down and screamed. And they heard it in the masjid and they screamed, and all of Medina, there was an uproar in all of Medina. Because now they know that the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going into its grave." She said, "They heard us in the masjid, and then from the masjid, the crying was everywhere all over Medina." And when it was time for Fajr, Bilal was making adhan. He said, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." And we came to Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He could not go any further. He started crying and could not finish the adhan. So they dug the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the room of Aisha, according to the sunnah that the anbiya are buried in the place where they died. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha said that she saw a dream that three moons fell in her lap. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he was very good at dream interpretations, he said, "If your dream is true, then three men from the best men on the face of the earth would be buried in your house." And when it was time to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr told Aisha radiallahu anha, "This is the best of your moons." The body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was descended into the grave, and again it was the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that took care of his burial. However, it says in one narration that Al-Mughira, before they would cover the grave, he threw in his ring intentionally into the grave, and then he told everyone, wait, let me go and grab my ring." So he went down to the grave to be the last person who would touch Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he came out. When the burial was done and people came back, Fatima radiallahu anha said, "Ya Anas," she's speaking to Anas ibn Malik, she said, "Ya Anas, atabat anfusakum an tahthu turaba ala Rasulillah? Did your heart allow you to throw dirt on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was buried?" So the whole thing was difficult for them. The washing of Rasulullah, the burial of Rasulullah, the death of Rasulullah, everything was very difficult on the ummah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whenever a calamity befalls one of you, remember the calamity of my death." The greatest calamity that can befall a Muslim has already happened, and that is the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever happens to you after that is going to be small compared to the loss of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Compared to the fact that Rasulullah is not with us, everything else is small. And there was fitna after the death of Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Many of the tribes became murtad. Muhammad ibn Ishaq says, وَلَمَّا تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ارْتَدَّتْ الْعَرَبِ. The Arabs became apostate. وَاشْرَبَّتْ الْيَهُودِيَّ وَالنَّصْرَانِيَّ. And Jews and Christians started showing themselves again.
ونجم النفاق, and hypocrisy became very widespread. وصار المسلمون كالغنم المطيرة في الليلة الشاتية لفقد نبيهم, and Muslims were like lost sheep in a cold rainy night after the Prophet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم died, حتى جمعهم الله على أبي بكر الصديق, until they were brought together again under Abu Bakr. And Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه says, I witnessed 2 days in my life. One of them was the best day and one of them was the worst day. The best day was the day when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Medina, and that was a day when everything was bright. And then the worst day was the day Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away, and that was a dark day. Anas ibn Malik also says, وَمَا نَفَضْنَا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم الْأَيْدِيَ حَتَّى أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. By the time we were dusting our hands after the burial of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we would already feel that our hearts are different. The hearts were different because of the death of Rasulullah صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. One day Abu Bakr and Umar decided to visit Umm Ayman. So she started to cry, and they told her, why are you crying? She said, I'm crying because there is no more revelation. So it was not only Rasulullah ﷺ that they were missing, but they were also missing the revelation that was coming from Sama'a. I mean, imagine living in a time when Quran was being revealed, you know, ayat that you're going to hear for the first time in your life. What did Rasulullah ﷺ leave behind? Rasulullah ﷺ did not leave behind any inheritance. Rasulullah ﷺ lived for his ummah, lived serving Allah Azza wa Jal. And Rasulullah ﷺ passed away from this dunya clean. He only left behind a white mule and his weapons and a land that he left behind for the travelers as sadaqah. That's all what Rasulullah ﷺ had. His arms, which he would use to fight fi sabilillah, and that's it. No property, no land, no wealth, no gold, no silver. A mule and arms. Muhammad ibn Ishaq says, Rasulullah ﷺ passed away on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, same day in which he made hijrah to Medina 10 years ago. So Rasulullah ﷺ lived for exactly 10 years in Medina. Rasulullah ﷺ died at the age of 63. Abu Bakr died at the age of 63. And Umar died at the age of 63. They followed the footsteps of Rasulullah even in his death. Brothers and sisters, this is the end of the seerah of Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. We thank Allah Azza wa Jal. We say Alhamdulillah, 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 who allowed us to go through the life, the seerah of the best of creation, Muhammad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. It is a wonderful time to spend with the story of our beloved Prophet. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal, the brothers and sisters, in the end, to make us of those who love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make us of those who truly love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make us of those who will follow his sunnah, his way, and to make us of those who would be raised up with him on the day of judgment and will drink from his hands, from al-kawthar. And we ask Allah azza wa jalla to admit us with him into paradise. Brothers and sisters, review this seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hear it again, follow it, and love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and be concerned about the ummah like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about the ummah. Remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived and died for you. Remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left a lot of the enjoyment of the dunya for the sake of having Islam come to you, and say alhamdulillah about that, and be grateful. Be grateful. The one who is not grateful towards people will not be grateful towards Allah. And who among all humanity do we owe more to than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We owe a lot to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that we know about Islam came to us through him. So how much do we owe Rasulullah salawatullahi wasallam alayhi? The least that we could do in recognition for what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for us is that we follow him and make salah and salam on Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim, wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid.
والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.